Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Doris Shafrir.
And Dory's sick today.
In case you couldn't tell.
We're going to talk about serums, but we're really going to talk about the massive sinus infection that my friend Dory has. Right after I got over a sinus infection a couple of weeks ago.
It's true.
You are getting walloped.
Walloped. I've never had really a sinus infection. I don't think. I mean, maybe I have, and I just thought it was like a regular old cold, but I don't think I've ever felt quite this bad.
Yeah. Do you want to share a little bit about what's been going on, my poor friend?
So, listeners know that a couple of weeks ago, we went glamping with Henry and his preschool. And like towards the end of glamping, it seemed like Henry was getting a little sick. And he was sick. He had like a cold, essentially. And he missed a couple days of school. And then I got sick with what seemed like exactly the same thing.
Right.
But it was like bad. Like I had one bad day, but then I was sort of okay. And then a couple more days went by and I felt like horrible. I was like, what is happening? And it was like all in my nose all of a sudden. And so then yesterday Matt said to me, you know, if I had been sick for this long, you would tell me to go to see the doctor. And I was like, yeah. And if I were you, I would say, I'm not going to the doctor. And then I said, but good thing I'm not you. So I did go to the doctor, and the doctor was like, you have a sinus. Oh, also, I thought I had COVID because I couldn't smell anything.
Yes, you and I had dinner last week. And
we
right
had like
before,
a work dinner.
Yeah, and you were like, I can't smell anything. I took a COVID test. I'm negative, but I cannot smell.
Yeah, and then like as the evening went on, I felt worse and worse. I had to I had to spray Afrin in the bathroom. I felt like a drug user. I mean, I was a drug user. And then I had to leave early because I felt I like could barely breathe. Like it was terrible. And then I took another COVID test. It was negative. And then at the doctor was like, oh, that's not really happening with COVID anymore.
What is happening with COVID now? Did they give you that information?
He was like, that was more like the first couple years of COVID.
Oh, great.
Like Alpha and Delta. And I was like, well, I had COVID last July and I couldn't smell anything. And he was like, oh. I was like, where are you getting your information from?
Yeah. Also, like, don't we all still agree that COVID is so fucking wacky that
yes.
It looks like a lot of different things for different people?
Totally. I was like, okay, COVID expert.
Dr. Kate Doctor. And Dr. Dory know what COVID is and what
but
it's
anyway,
not.
But anyway, he prescribed me some antibiotics and I started taking them. And so far, they seem to have made things worse.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, I would say, I don't think they have made things worse. I think they haven't really like kicked in yet. And my sickness is just getting worse is what is happening.
Yeah. I checked in with you today. Like, I hope those antibiotics have kicked in. And you were like, oh, I feel worse than I did yesterday.
I was like, nope.
Ugh. what a miserable feeling. I'm sorry. I think, friend. Well, you know, it's also like, I think a lot about how, and this is a conversation that's happening kind of universally, at least here in the United States, about how like, quote unquote, truancy is up at schools and how like, you know, just also on the, to contrast that, the ways in which like kids were conditioned to go to school no matter what, and perfect attendance was always highlighted. And I think, you know, in our work culture, we were only given a certain amount of sick days, and a lot of us have worked through many ailments, you know, menstrual cycles. I have friends who have worked through miscarriages. Like, you know, we are conditioned socially to work while sick. And so sometimes I feel like we don't, when we have something like a really severe cold, it doesn't always get the gravity, the weight. It can really fucking kick our butts. And I don't know, the name cold doesn't quite do it justice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why when I'm like, I'm on antibiotics, it's
right,
like,
right, you're trying to justify, like, yeah, validate, it's like, this how is bad more, you feel.
This is more than, quote, just a cold, but like, you can feel pretty shitty with, quote, just a cold.
Yeah, it's like when you've been dating someone for 10 years, you're not married, but boyfriend or girlfriend doesn't feel strong enough for what you are.
Oh, interesting.
Do you see that correlation?
You see that leap
I made? This cold is like your life partner.
This cold is my life partner. Yes.
What a bummer, though. I'm sorry that you're not feeling good. I'm glad that we have. I'm glad that we have a nice guest today to just like help us get through.
Me too.
The shittiness of how you're feeling.
What a delight this human is to talk to.
Before we do, though, I did say we were going to talk about serums, and I don't have a serum that I want to talk about, but I feel like I found a really delightful lip product.
Oh,
that I
go
just
on.
Wanted to like put out into the ether. And you know what? I'm going to confess, the only reason I like have even looked to this brand for lip products is because my 13-year-old daughter wanted their lip oil.
Oh boy, you're getting influenced by your team. Oh,
I'm getting influenced by the Gen Zelfas because she's on the cusp of Z and Alpha.
Oh my God.
She really wanted to get the Summer Fridays Dream Lip Oil.
Okay.
And, you know, I happen to make Easter magic in my house, so I purchased some.
Wow.
For a little Easter basket.
Aww.
And then while I was there, I tootalooted on over to their lip butter balm for hydration and shine. It had like a massive amount of stars on the Sephora app, and I was just like, this is interesting.
Uh-huh.
I want this. I'm going to just add to cart because I'm already buying for my kid. I'm going to just get something
just
for myself.
Just add to cart, baby.
I tapped that button so fast. But you know what? Here's what I did. I grabbed it in kind of a color that I like but wouldn't normally wear. It's like a bright orange. It's called Poppy, and it's their lip butter and Poppy. And it's really sheer. You don't get like a massive amount of color, but it's really nice. And this is like a very nice, stays on for a long time, leaves your lips feeling hydrated lip balm.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. And they have a lot of colors that are currently very sold out on the Sephora site. I imagine this is a popular product, and I am obviously very cool and with it.
You are so cool and with it.
But I really like this color. Poppy is really pretty.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Hot tip.
It made me feel just kind of, it's like more than Vaseline, but less than even like, it's like a less than a sheer gloss. I don't know. It's very, ooh, it's just like one of those real barely there theirs.
A barely there there.
It's a barely there there. Which is exactly what I want right now from my makeup products. I want barely there there.
Totally. Wow. Okay.
I also, after talking to our guest today, have gone on a real Italian heritage hyperfixation. So I'm excited to get to this conversation.
Okay.
Should we introduce our guest?
Let's do that, Kate.
We are talking today to the other woman in my life. That would be Dory's other podcast host, Joe Piazza.
Joe Piazza.
The wonderful, hilarious, brilliant Joe Piazza. Joe is the national and international best-selling author of The Sicilian Inheritance, which is out now, as well as the books We Are Not Like Them, You Were Always Mine, Charlotte Walsh Likes to Win, The Knockoff, and How to Be Married. Her written work has been published in 10 languages and 12 countries. Her books have been optioned for film and television. Her podcasts have garnered more than 25 million downloads.
Wow.
Her work has appeared just literally all over.
All over.
She lives in Philly with her husband, Nick, and their three children. And she's also the co-host, along with Dory Shafrir, of the podcast Too Much Money.
Oh, yeah.
And Joe joined us to really talk about everything. She's one of those people who...
she just puts it all out there.
She does.
But not in like a weird way.
No, like in a very accessible, yes, open, vulnerable, yes, funny,
yes,
way.
Yes, yes.
I mean, we talk about everything.
Everything.
Aging, injectables...
We just go there.
Before we switch gears and head into our convo with Joe, a friendly reminder that our website is forever35podcast.com. Our Instagram is at forever35podcast. You can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/forever35. Products that we love can be found at shopmy.us/forever35. If you want to chime in, we love to hear from you. You can leave us a voicemail or send us a text message very easily at 781-591-0390. And our email address is forever35podcast@gmail.com. And now, without further ado, here is my fellow Italian American, Joe Piazza.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave. It's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30 Plus. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like zoop, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s. But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click get started. And then use our code forever35 at sign up and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
I am the first to admit that gift giving is not easy for everyone. It's taken me a long time to become like a halfway decent gift giver. But what I have learned is that the best way to win the gift giving game is to gift memories.
Ooh.
Yes. And you know how you do that, Kate?
I'm ready. I'm listening.
The Aura digital frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
We have gifted this to many people.
And when you gift this, your family will love looking back on childhood memories and seeing what you're up to today. Even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating the frame with new photos. So it's really the gift that keeps on giving. It's super easy to set up. It takes literally 2 minutes. You download the app. You set up the Wi-Fi.
Boom.
You're good to go.
Yep.
We have given this to my parents. We've given this to Matt's parents. Mm-hmm.
Same, same.
It's so easy because you can add photos from the app like anytime you want. And also like my brother has the app so he can add photos from his family. My sister has the app so she can add photos. My parents also have it. So they also add their own photos.
That is one of the coolest parts, I think, of the Aura Frame is that everybody can contribute.
Yes.
I love that about we have two Aura frames in our house. I have one in my office and and one in our family room. And my kids love it.
Do they have the same pictures on them?
No, they have different pictures.
That's interesting. Maybe I should get one from my office.
I'm looking at a picture of my children right now.
Right. Interesting. Putting that away for later.
Store that.
Yes. The Aura app lets you share photos more securely than with email, which is what many other digital frames require. And also, then you're not taking up your email storage. So win-win. And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Forever 35 listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code Forever35 at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. Now, look, both Dory and I love our Quince items.
You might even call us Quince heads.
You might. I would say you should. In fact, if you don't address us as such, we might get upset. In all seriousness, I have a variety of clothing from Quince, everything from a beautiful cashmere sweater to a very simple, easy white tee to this gorgeous pink summer dress. You can really like get your whole wardrobe filled with quality pieces at really reasonable prices. You can get organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops. They even have timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, which I want. Just going to announce mm-hmm. that here. I'm coming for that jewelry.
You're putting it out there.
I'm putting it out there. The best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middle people and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, which we love. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/forever35 for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/forever35 to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/forever35. Welcome to the Joe Piazza Show. Very excited about this conversation. Joe, especially, I have to tell you, I have a good friend here in Los Angeles who a few months ago was like, have I ever told you the story about how my great-great-grandmother was killed in Italy and we think it's by the mafia? And I was like, what? I have a friend who had that happen and also wrote a book about it. So I was just talking to her again about it. So yeah, so there's, I'm fascinated to hear more about your story. And I also think it's really interesting because it might not be the only one.
I need to talk to this friend immediately. I will have them.
I will connect.
Yes.
She was like, am I related to this person? And I don't think so, but I suspect that you have a similar experience. So I will connect. And she's going to
You never know if we're related because we're Italian Americans. We breed like rabbits.
I am one. I'm one of you. I'm a quarter Italian American, but it's overpowering.
It is. I don't know how many cousins I have. Okay. Yes, because every time I bring this book, The Sicilian Inheritance, up to someone who is even a little bit Italian American, they're like, let me tell you about the murder in my own family. And I'm like, is this a like rite of passage we all have? Like, do we all turn 12 and our family's like, let us tell you about our deep, dark mafia murder in our history?
They sit you down.
They sit you down and they tell you about puberty and shaving your legs and also about the mafia murder that happened 100 years ago.
I don't have one in my family. I only have a great grandfather who kept rabbits and then would break their neck and cook them for dinner. So that's all. That's my Italian murder vibes. Yep. Yeah. He loved eating
rabbits. Also creepy.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the pod. Welcome back.
Yeah. Welcome back. I was going to say you've been on the show before. With Christine.
It's nice to be solo.
Yeah, it's nice to be solo. You have a book that when this airs, it will have come out yesterday.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that feels crazy because I've been thinking about this book for essentially my whole life.
Wow.
We always ask people about their self-care practice, but before we get to that, do you want to just like briefly give our listeners a rundown of The Sicilian Inheritance, your new book?
Yes. And then actually all I want to talk about is my self-care practice because no one has asked me that. And that is like really what I want to dive into with you ladies. Yeah. So The Sicilian Inheritance, I've been thinking about this book forever, but I started writing it during the pandemic. And right after I had my first daughter, I wanted to write a book that was just delicious in all of the ways. I wanted to write about delicious travel and delicious food and like really good looking people, maybe or maybe not having sex in a beach cave. And so,
sure.
Right. And so I started writing that, and it's loosely based on a real life murder in my family, my great great grandmother 100 years ago, which has been this mystery passed down in a game of telephone through my family. Who knows if it's real? Who knows if it's true? Because, like, again, my family are like full of like myth makers and storytellers and liars. And, but I had this nugget that she did not make it to America to join her husband and her sons here, that she was murdered possibly by the mafia for her land or because she was a witch and she may have cast a spell on the wrong person. These are all possibilities. And I just took that and I went with it. And I just created this murder mystery adventure set in Sicily with a modern day woman, a modern day chef and butcher, I also wanted a modern woman who just loves the hell out of food, who goes back and tries to solve this mystery and claim her family's land. And it became this book that I write by the seat of my pants. I do not outline. I just write and write. And it became a book that felt like it wanted to be written. Like, I did not know the end of the Sicilian inheritance when I started writing it. And then all of a sudden I was like, well, that's a banger. Huh. Didn't see that one coming. No. And yeah, it's just, I'm hoping people pick it up when they're in a reading slump and are like, yep, this is what I wanted to read. Feel good now. Feel good about books again for the first time in a while.
Aww. Well, I think you have succeeded. We'll talk about your book a little bit more, but let's talk about your self-care practice, especially when it comes to a period in your life that is like extremely busy and stressful.
Yeah.
What is your sort of respite from that?
I will say, like, in these crazy couple of weeks where I have this book coming out soon, and, you know, I have all these other projects. Dory knows this very well. One of them is with her. I just, like, sometimes forget that I have a body. Like, I forget that I'm a body that needs to be taken care of and needs, like, you know, to be fed and watered and all of the things. And There's one thing, and I feel so cheesy talking about it, because it's like very Huberman Lab duty of like, oh, this is like what I do to make myself feel present, man. But I've been I've been doing cold plunges and ice baths, and it like it really does remind me that I have a body. Like, I get in and you feel all of the things in like the freaking tub, and my gym has one, so I'll do one there. I'm in the Catskills right now, and I literally jumped in the freaking creek that is just like a bunch of like snow melt. And I'm like, okay, all right. And it kind of like wakes you up from all of the other shit that's going on around you. And you're like, all right, I'm back in it. Back in it. So yeah, yes, I need to feed myself. Yes, I need to water myself and take care of myself. I'm also a person who prioritizes sleep over like the rest of like everything else in my life.
Ugh, I wish I did this.
Like, I really do. It's made the biggest difference for me in terms of my anxiety and just like, I mean, everything about me, my productivity. I prioritize sleep over reading books, over watching TV, over having sex with my husband, over talking to my husband. I'm a 9 hour a night person. I'm a 9 hour a nighter. And I like, if I don't get it, I feel like crap, and I will do anything that I can to get it. We had a third baby about a year ago, and I just said to my husband, Nick, I'm like, you're the one that gets up at night. It's not me. Like, I will not be a good person during the day. And you are like one of those freaks that can just fall asleep whenever you want to. I hate him for that. So he gets up with her and I get my 9 hours a day. And like, it's my biggest form of self-care. It really is. That and this new...
What time do you go to bed?
I go to bed right after I put my last child to bed at 8:30, my six-year-old. Sometimes it's 9 o'clock because he really wants to talk about things like, why did people smoke cigarettes in the 90s? Because he saw a movie. And I'm like,
I love these questions.
You know, it's ancient history.
Like, you're always tucking them in and they're like, can you explain why?
I'm like, it is weird. I'm like, because I grew up in a like two-pack household. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, looking back, it was strange to just live in a household filled with smoke all of the time. But I'll let me explain the marketing cycle of addiction and capitalism. And so I get in bed after that. And if I'm feeling okay, I will read for about 20 minutes to a half an hour. And I just put myself to sleep. I'm like, it is time. It is time for you to go to bed.
Wow.
I know.
I love this. And then you wake up at like, what, 6, 7?
What is usually math? It's usually like, what is math or time? Guys, what is math or time? I wake up, it could be anywhere between 6 and 7 o'clock because like I don't have an alarm clock. I wake up when I hear a child yell, really.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah.
Can I circle back to the cold plunging for a bit? Mm-hmm. Do you do it at a consistent time every day? So I will confess, so we have a pool in our backyard here in California, and we don't heat it most of the time. So it's very cold. And I often look at it and I'm like, I should just jump in that real quick and then come out. Like jump out.
Yeah, you should.
I have a cold plunge sitting here literally in my yard, but the motivation to do it feels like I need a lot of it. So like what, can you just like, when do you cold plunge? How long are you in there?
Yeah.
Do you have a consistent practice? Do you do it once a week? Like
I do it about, it's about three times a week and I do it midday. So like my thing is I get up and I like do my most of my writing first thing in the day. So if that's like I have to write a script for a podcast, I'll write that. If I'm working on a novel, I'll write that. And then when I'm starting to feel like kind of like hazy and the coffee's worn off, then I'll do a cold plunge. And it's also kind of like a sunlight plunge too, because I have to walk to the gym to do it. So it's like the first time that I've left the house and I have to, you know, take off my pajamas. And that's a good thing to do for yourself, which I do also forget because I forget that I'm a human who has a body. And I, so it's like usually it's like a nooner, cold plunge. And it gets me, I also try not to have coffee anymore after like 11 o'clock because I prioritize the sleep so much. So that's when I start to get fatigued a little bit. And then I jump in. I feel fucking awesome when I get out of the pool. And so I think part of it is because you don't want to do it. And so it's like you do this thing you don't want to do. And after you do it, you feel like you can do other things you don't want to do, like finish that chapter of a book or call your insurance company and fight for them to pay for your mammogram.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm seeing an upside here.
There's an upside there, but you're not going to want to do it. You're not going to want to. And
no, I don't.
And I yell like a banshee when I jump in the pool. And it's embarrassing because there's other humans there. It's not my pool.
Right.
And also when I do it in the creek up here in the Catskills, the creek is like literally right behind me. You know, people hear me and think that I'm being murdered in the woods. I've had an old man run over and be like, are you okay?
Oh my God.
I'm like, yeah, sir, I'm fine. I'm just a middle-aged woman in a Speedo jumping in an icy creek. And,
don't mind me,
but it does make me feel a lot better. And then my last self-care thing is like, I feel so woo-woo with this one too. I do the intermittent fasting. I don't usually eat anything until 11 o'clock. I only drink black coffee until 11. And I think it like regulates my energy in a way that nothing else was. Like I tried quitting sugar. I tried doing all the things. And like, this isn't about diet. I could care less what I weigh at this point. I just want to have energy. And I really love the intermittent fasting. But both of these things make me sound like a Huberman Lab bro.
Well, we can just call this the Booberman Lab.
This is the Booberman Lab. Oh my God. Guys, starting a faux Huberman podcast, especially in light of the recent New York Magazine article called the Booberman Lab, where it's just us debunking pseudoscience.
Yes.
All right, guys, should I start it right now? I'll make a feed.
Yes.
I'll make a feed.
Yes.
Please. Okay. I mean, the thing is like, I walk the line personally between like debunking it and then also doing it sometimes.
Yeah, same.
You know, like I think the placebo effect of so many of these things is like not the worst.
No.
So it's like, well, you know, why not?
Why not?
But like sleep, for example, there is plenty of science that shows that consistent bedtime and a good amount of sleep is vital to one's health.
I know. I just love it so much. And like, I get mad at myself when I like disrupt my sleep. Like, I know that booze disrupts my sleep. Like if I have any wine or like a tequila, I know I'm going to sleep badly. And I did for the past, like last weekend, because we were hanging out with friends and I was just pissed the next day. Cause I'm like, God damn it. Not because of like a hangover or anything. I'm like, you did not get good sleep and that is your fault.
The booze stuff I enjoy a cocktail and it is, and then I feel like such shit, not even the next day, but throughout the night. I don't like the impact is so extreme now.
It's so intense on me. Like I'm a person that likes drinking. I like a cocktail. I like a glass of wine. I like a hearty IPA, and I like, maybe even 15 minutes after that first drink, I start to feel bad. And then I'm definitely really groggy. I wake up in the middle of the night and I feel terrible the next day. It's like, it is thus far, the worst part of aging for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kate, I think you should ask your fun first question.
Hold on, let me scroll over to the document. I don't have the document open. That's how like casually chatting I am about this episode. I'm so excited just to like sit and gab that I didn't even open our document. Okay, sorry. Let me be a professional podcaster, Joe, and open up our Joe Piazza dossier. Okay, here's my fun first question. Oh my God, I forgot about this. Okay, Joe, forgive me, but we're recording this episode as the Supreme Court is currently debating mifepristone, which is a pill that is an abortion pill. It's used for a variety of reasons and been around forever and is very safe. And I find it very interesting that we have, and I'm not the first person, like I'm not a scholar. Many people have talked about this, but you talk a lot about tradwives and I find the parallel of the rise of tradwives and the demise of abortion access and the ending of Roe really fascinating.
Yes.
I'm curious if you have thoughts on this. Hashtag I did write, what a fun first question from Kate. Really bringing down the mood.
What a joyous first question. But yeah.
What a great time, right? What a great time we're living
in. I'm so happy to answer it because I'm a huge fan of women having access to all of the things and all of the choices. I talk about this a lot. I had an abortion when I was 16. It changed my life. Really good decision for me. I can't imagine my life any other way. And I can talk about it literally all day long. I do think that there is a rise in conservative propaganda on social media, along with the decision to ban these kind of options for women. We know that certain conservative forces, and I'm not going to say the Republican Party, because it's not like just like, oh, all Republicans believe this. There are conservative forces that are funding, boosting certain accounts that promote things like, women staying in the home, women not having agency over their own lives, women having as many children as possible, and making those lives look so perfect and beautiful and gorgeous and aspirational. Like these accounts get boosted. I've heard about certain lobbying groups doing this to the tune of, millions and millions, if not $100 million. And that's why I think these images are so dangerous, because it strips away the labor of motherhood. It doesn't show the work of motherhood. It makes it seem like it is something that is so easy and that we should all just take for granted because it is such a wonderful, easy thing. And why wouldn't you want to have this many children? I mean, it's also the opposite of valuing stay-at-home mothers, who I think are the CEOs of their households, who are doing such real work. The tradwives are taking away like all of the work that those women are doing. So I do think there's a direct correlation between the fight to end access to abortions and access to choice and this rise in tradwife content in a very, very dangerous way.
Thank you for answering that question. I'm very alarmed by it and it really is freaking me out a bit. So I appreciate you eloquently digging into it.
Yeah, I think about it a lot. I also want to say, I spend a lot of time with women in their 20s who consume a lot of their news on TikTok and social media. And there's a lot of misinformation out there about birth control right now, about birth control.
Yes.
And about
I read the whole article. On
yes.
This.
Yeah, exactly. And the morning after pill. In particular, which, again, the morning after pill probably saved my life in a bunch of instances. And so I think all of these things are related and they should all be talked about together, like very often. Great first question. Yeah, okay. Great first question, Kate.
Thank you, Joe. Amazing question from me.
Joe, you've written a lot about the influencer Ballerina Farm.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you are someone who really has their finger on the pulse of the mom influencer world.
Mm-hmm.
Who are like the up and coming mom influencers that you have your eye on?
Ooh, interesting question.
such an interesting question. Yeah. You know, I do talk about Ballerina Farm a lot, and Ballerina Farm has more than 8 million followers. So I think it's important to talk about it. And I like to say it as a brand, as a media brand, right? Like,
yeah,
this has
totally.
nothing anymore to do with the woman who is in the pictures in the account. It is really about this brand that influences more than 8 million people a day. I think it might be 9 million people now. And so that's a lot of power. That's like Nike, Pepsi level power. So we should be talking about it. I'm seeing an interesting rise in the satire accounts. So in the people like Lex Della Rosa, who is definitely tradwife adjacent. I interviewed Lex, and you know, she is in a very, what she calls a traditional marriage. She believes her husband should be making all the money outside the home, and that, you know, she should be submissive to him in gender roles. But she also kind of takes the piss out of the tradwives in that, you know, she'll say things like, I'm throwing a party for my 24-month-old, or I'm mowing the grass with these shearing scissors.
And it's funny.
The thing about the tradwife movement now, too, is that the algorithm on both TikTok and Instagram really seems to favor it. And I think because people liked it for so long, and because it has been boosted in a lot of different ways, and people realize that. So there's a lot of people performing tradwife life just to get followers and to make money. And I think that's why we should always look at these accounts with a certain level of skepticism. Be like, who were you before this? Because before this, I think you were like the drunk wine mom, but that's not getting attention anymore. And now you're just wearing flowery dresses and raising chickens just so you can get my attention.
Right.
Oh, really gives me the heebie freaking jeebies.
All of it gives me the heebie jeebies. And like, look, the tradwives have not influenced me to have multiple children. If anything, you know, it made me want to have Nick Astor get a vasectomy more and more and more, which he did. He did. We had him fixed. But they do influence me to do something that is very nefarious to me. And it's very nefarious to my bank account, which is buy Doen dresses.
Oh boy. Yeah. Oof. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's a moment where you're like, why the fuck are we? What is this? Mm-hmm. What are we doing in these prairie gowns?
What? Why?
How did we get? It's like you wake up.
How did we get here? Yeah.
From being hypnotized. How did we get here? They're beautiful. It's a beautiful. They're beautiful dresses.
Beautiful dresses.
But as are the Target knockoffs that I buy.
Same. But yes.
But what is happening here under the surface a little bit, right?
Yeah. Like why did we think this was okay? Or the nap dresses, really. The nap dresses, which I mean, they're like coma dresses, right? Like I walk out and my husband sees this and he's like, did you just like go to sleep for 100 years, Rip Van Winkle? What happened to you? But this is what social media will do to us. It makes us think that this is what everyone is doing, so we should do it too. So, okay, great. I will put on this plaid smock.
Okay, well, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Kate, you know I've been getting into like the spring cleaning vibe.
Yeah, you have really been kind of doing a refresh, if you will.
I've been trying, but I gotta say, it's a lot more fun when you also get to do a little space refresh.
Mm.
So I'm talking like moving furniture around. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe get a new piece here or there, swap out the blankets. Like I'm almost ready for my cotton blanket instead of my wool blanket.
Yes, the seasons are changing and so is your home.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And with Jenny Kane's Elevated Home Essentials, I can get exactly what I need to create the kind of place I frankly never want to leave. Jenny Kane Home is a California brand through and through, and their interior pieces are instant classics. From their candle scents, I don't have to tell you how much I love the musk candle. And Kate, of course, is partial to the Montecito candle.
Always and forever.
Yeah. To their iconic furniture and the coziest pillows, think clean, effortless, and totally refined. Jenny Kane Home is all about the art of simplicity. They focus on comfort, quality, and timeless design so you can curate a space that never goes out of style and always feels fresh as spring. Find the perfect way to refresh your space at jennykane.com. Our listeners get 15% off your first order when you use code F35 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order, jennikayne.com, promo code F35. I like to care for my skin, duh. And it's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
On the flip side, there is another part of me that likes the rejection of other kind of like institutionalized fashion rules that a lot of these clothes, I think kind of more specifically like the designer Batsheva, but like a lot of these clothes have kind of pushed against. Like there's an interesting side to that too. Like it's not, I think a lot of them, or at least maybe when I started kind of piquing my interest in the world of like flowy smock dresses, it felt like a rejection of something.
Yeah.
But now it is almost shifted into a different part of a subculture, I guess.
Totally.
If I'm thinking critically about it.
Yeah. Well, no, we've gone full circle, right? Like it felt like a rejection of like tight Lululemon, look at my butt pants. Now it's gone the other way. And it's like, now I just want to wear clothes again. I just want to wear actual clothes. And also some of these, I love the Target knockoffs, but some of these brands are so expensive, like so. And I love a well-made dress, right? And I think that we should pay for good clothing, but I also think they've taken it to a gonzo bananas level.
Interesting.
A lot happening here.
So much happening here. Guys, I can just go in all of the directions. I'm just happy to be here.
Well, kind of on the same topic, I have been kind of interested in the discussion about the TikTok trend of people asking their followers how old they think they are and kind of this weird debate about like who looks older, millennials or Gen Z, and all this stuff, this kind of obsession with looking old, not looking your age, or like guess how old I am and then shocking people when you're older than they think. And how we're never just, we were talking about this with another guest the other day, but like, how we haven't been like, people are being even less forthcoming with their age, or it's being used as like a hook in a way. And there's a lot, I don't know, there's a discussion to be had about aging. And I think Dory and I have it a lot. And Joe, I know you are our age, so you participate as well. But like, that's another thing that I see online happening that I'm kind of like, oh fuck, What is this? Have you been following that trend at all? Do you have thoughts about what it kind of says about our culture at large?
Yeah, no, I really do. And I've been following it. And when I first saw it, I thought it was so absurd to be happening on TikTok, which is something that literally you put a filter over your face and you can look any goddamn age you want to look, right? So it's just like, what, like, you're asking what age I am, and like you could look 12 on a TikTok filter. You really could. You really could. And but I have so many mixed feelings about this, and I think that you can feel like two things at once that are complete opposites. I'm a woman who gets Botox, and I just got Dysport, however you say it, for the first time in my forehead, so that I can go on this book tour and not look like the Crypt Keeper. And then at the same time, I'm also like, I want to see real women's faces. I want to see more real women in movies and on social media. And what if all women between the ages of 25 and 55 didn't look the same, which we do and we can now. Like, it's like Hollywood actually has no women, you know, outside of that range of 25 to 55. They could be any age. Everyone looks exactly the same between those two ages. And like, after 55, you can see kind of a difference, but not really. And I don't know. I have so many mixed feelings about it, because for me, I love aging. I'm very happy in my 40s. I feel very content with my life and who I am. I wouldn't want to be 20 again for anything. Like go back to my 20s and like dating and like all of that, even though I was so hot in my 20s and I did not know it. Like, Dory knew me in my 20s. I was so hot, right, Dory? Like, I looked so good. And I had
she
no,
was. You I also had, no had you had a very you had a very cool job.
Yeah, yeah. And
you were,
but like,
you
I
were
still,
a woman. You were a gal about town.
You were a gal about town.
Gal about yeah. town. And like, but I wouldn't want to do that for anything. Like, I love being in my 40s and just like all the knowledge that comes with age. And so there is a part of me that hates the idea of like not showing my age on my face. But then I also don't want to be a woman that goes into the world and shows my age where no other women are showing their age. So it's kind of like, if we all opted out, then maybe we could do this. But at this point, I'm like sucked into the system. And yeah, I think by like having people guess your age and this calling out, I think this is a really long way of me saying, I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with what's happening about how we show age and talk about yeah. age. And this is a manifestation of that. It's like, I want to say my age, but I want to do it in a gimmicky way, or I want you to be surprised. I want you to feel this when you learn this. And yeah, it's one of the weirder social media trends of the past like couple years.
Yeah, I'm struggling with how I feel about it and the opting in and out of certain things. And I think you make a really good point of like, when you opt out, like, yay, but then what, you're the only, like, what if you're the only one? And yeah. then it just feels like it's a mind fuck. And I also think it's not one that I fully comprehended until I hit my 40s, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's very easy to have opinions on shit like this when you're 30. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, when your periods start skipping and your face starts kind of melting, it's like, what the fuck, you know?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck? It's disorienting. I knew about wrinkles, okay? I'm like, you get wrinkles when you get older, right? I didn't know about jowls. Like, I didn't know that my chin was going to melt in this way. And also that there's nothing to do about it besides a really expensive facelift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just a part of it. But I will say, though, what's interesting to me is these are things that I would nitpick on myself mm-hmm. for sure mm-hmm. and do not see on others. And that is when I kind of like feel myself getting sucked into like extreme negative self-talk about my appearance. I kind of remember, you know, and I think there's this conversation's happened of like, I think people reflecting on their mothers mm-hmm. and how they're, you know, thinking about how their mothers looked at as they aged and what they noticed and what they found beautiful. And I think about this a lot because the stuff that I am staring at myself and really like tearing down, not all the time, but you know, when you're in that moment,
yeah.
It's not to me anything I would ever look at anybody else and say, I see that laugh line. Like, I see those jowls on you. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't even know. And so that's kind of also been buzzing around my brain as I think about these things a lot.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like I look at my girlfriends who are the same age as I am. And also it's like, I think everyone is my age too. I'm like, yeah, we're the same age, right? And people are like, same. Yeah, I'm 50. I'm like, yeah, that's the same as 43. We're the same. But I look at my girlfriends and I'm like, you're so fucking pretty. Like you're so, and I have friends that do stuff to their face and friends that don't do stuff to your face. And I'm just like, you all look so gorgeous. I don't nitpick my friends' faces. I think they look beautiful. And it's a reminder to like be kinder to ourselves. I know that we never will be, or I won't be, because this is just how I am in the world. But yeah, I've never once looked at my friends and been like, oh God, she should do something about those 11s on her forehead. Never once. Never, right? Ever once.
Never once. Mm-mm.
You know, you're kind of like indirectly hitting at another question that I wanted to ask you, because you said you had gotten the Dysport as you're about to go out on book tour. And, you know, all three of us are authors. We've all written books. We're all, I think, probably writing books. I don't know. But I want to talk about the pressures on authors to be self-promoters, because you have you've done a lot of promotion on your own for your book. And it's a lot of work. It's a lot of time. And I was wondering if you could speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting for readers to hear it sometimes. And then sometimes they're like, I just want to read a damn book. I don't care what you go through. But I spend a lot of time talking to readers. It's the best part of my job. The best parts are writing a book, which I love, and then connecting with readers. Those two things are awesome. And if I could do those two things all day long. I hate selling books and promoting books and being a show pony. And I never want to say the word pre-order again, because it just sounds stupid, and you don't do it for any other product in the world. But where authors are forced to, because your publisher looks at those numbers, and if they're not good, they're not going to give you any marketing or sales support, you know, 3 days after your book comes out. And if we think about the way that we discover books, I don't discover books until they're 6 months out. And I live in this world. Like, books need time to marinate and resonate with readers. But the publishing world is not set up like that. So we are forced to be like dancing show ponies and do all of these TikToks and Instagrams and pre-order campaigns, what I call the pre-order Olympics. And it's exhausting. And it's why I'm not taking care of myself. It's why I'm jumping in a freezing stream right now. And I would love to find a way to help readers find awesome books like your books, and obviously like my book, The Sicilian Inheritance, that like doesn't take so much work and energy from the authors, because I think we're also overly dependent on celebrity book clubs right now, where, you know, that becomes like the plan. It's like, well, this feels like a celebrity book club pick, but if it's not chosen, it kind of gets abandoned. And that's only talking about three books a month that might not be for you. And I say this as a person who has been a celebrity book club pick. I've seen both sides of this. And I like, TikTok is also can't be your marketing plan. I'm very bad at TikTok. I've tried the things that you're supposed to do, and I do not like those things, and I don't like doing them. I'm pretty good at Instagram. I'm good at the Substacks, but I think it is exhausting, and I want to spend as much time talking to readers as possible and less time trying to help them find books. I feel like that should be the job of the publishers.
Yeah.
I mean, yes.
Yes.
I'm I'm in this right now because I have a book coming out in 2 months, and it's challenging.
It's challenging.
It's a super strange experience. Mm-hmm. And like, also as someone who like, quote, hates to bother people, it's just like, oh God, here it goes again.
Oh my God, I know. I feel like such a nudge. Like, I feel like the worst annoying nudge to like everyone in my life. Okay. So I feel that way to my readers, first of all, because you follow me on Instagram, because you like my writing. not necessarily because you want to see me be like, pre-order my book and I'll do this dance for you. And then I feel that way to my friends, both of you, who I'm like, hey, could you hold my book up on Instagram and tell and bother your followers to buy it? And also, I mean, literally my husband actually got laid off last week. The world. Dory, I didn't talk to you in our normal talking time. So I didn't get to tell you this. So he got laid off, you know, because this is capitalism and corporate America now. You just never know what's coming. And he did have like, I've trained him so much and bothered him so much that he had the best sign-off email of all time to his coworkers. He was like, all right, yeah, really great 4 years with you all. And I work for my wife now, so could everyone pre-order her book? And then, yeah, that'd be really great. Maybe five. Sayonara.
Okay, this is making the pitch to have him record an episode of Too Much Money make more sense now.
Because I thought that I had written that. Sometimes I tell you things in my head and I don't put them on paper. Yeah. I was like, Dory, Nick's got time on his hands.
I was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I'm like, Nick's available. Yeah, so
Joe and I, we've definitely talked about this, but Joe and I do a podcast called Too Much Money about just kind of the wacky things that billionaires spend their money on. It's been a real trip. But Joe is in a very busy period, as just discussed. And she texted me the other night and asked if her husband could fill in for her on an episode. I won't reveal what he's going to talk about.
Oh my God. I can't wait. It's so good. It's so messed up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But now this is making more sense why he has the time to research and record this episode.
He's really excited about it. Okay. He's like really putting his all.
I'm excited too.
Yeah.
Wait, we touched on something that I wanted to circle back to. Oh, now I can't remember what it was. Husband, laid off, promotion, TikTok. I don't know. But it's all hard. That being said, I'm very excited for your book.
Yeah, me too.
Like, I cannot wait. I am organically and naturally and like not due to any sort of exterior influence excited for your book.
Yeah.
I cannot
wait. Yeah, I'm excited for it to be in the world. Like I said, it's fun. It's an adventure. It's like taking a trip to Sicily. And I'm excited to get it into readers' hands and see what like actual readers who aren't just my friends and my family and select bookstagrammers think about it. Like that'll be really, really fun. And it's also why I want as many people to see it as possible, you know, so that like they know it's available. It's hard to find stuff you like. And we know this with making podcasts and there's just so much content out there and we're kind of scrolling that it feels really special when you find something that you enjoy. And so I want readers to be able to find it. And then all of us should go and record a podcast together in Sicily.
Oh, don't even joke about it. That's my freaking dream.
I'm not joking about it.
You are leading or have led like writing retreats in Sicily, right?
No, I'm leading one. I am. I'm planning.
You're leading one.
I'm leading one. Yeah. I'm planning. It's a storytelling retreat. So it's not just writing books. It's also podcasting. And so my podcast producer, Kate from Kaleidoscope, who's making the Sicilian Inheritance Companion podcast, will be leading podcasting sessions. And then we'll have really great authors doing author sessions. And like one of my goals is like, look, like I want this book to blow up, but also I want this trip to be free or very cheap for a lot of people. So like, it's like, let's make the book really popular so that like Alitalia or whatever they call it now, sponsors it. And this hotel wants to sponsor it. And we can like make it affordable for all of us to go to Sicily and tell stories together.
I love this. Let's manifest this.
Let me know what's happening.
Let's manifest that. Yeah, I want to go. Yeah. That's the goal here.
What have you kind of learned? Like, I know you just went back to Italy and you were actually researching like your real family history. Like, what have you kind of gained from that side of this experience?
You know, it's been pretty awesome because I'm such a thorough and freakish content creator. After I wrote the novel, I was like, You had better just solve this real life murder for a true crime podcast. And so I did. I am.
No crush.
Just go solve it. And I am. I took my whole family with 3 children under 6 to Sicily last summer. And I just got back from Sicily to solve my real life great great grandmother's murder. It's like White Lotus meets Only Murders in the Building. Guys, I think it drops like in an hour. I don't even know anymore. Like I said, what is time? And I learned so much, actually. Like, one of the things I've been thinking about a lot is like how the stories that we tell about our families and the stories we pass down about our families shape our identities, and how they shape so many people's identities. Because like I said, every time I mention the book or the podcast, someone's like, let me tell you my story. Like, it means so much to like how we define ourselves in the world. And I've also really tried to embrace this like Sicilian sense of like slower living. So I had to go into a lot of archives. I went into the mafia records and the homicide records and like the city hall and the Sicilian version of the DMV. And they're so intense about having appointments and also only being open for a couple of hours so they can all go home for lunch. And like, it's an intense system of time management that you're not used to as an American who's like, go, go, go. Like, yeah. I want this when I want this and blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, I'm leaving at 11:30 because I have to have a 4-hour lunch now with my mama. Bye. And just kind of embracing that slowness and sense of rest amidst all the craziness that we have to do as authors was really nice. Like, I did not plan on going back, but that was when I got access 2 weeks ago to get into the court records, and I had to fly at the last minute. And it was just a nice reminder, because also here in America, we let our work define us. And it's like the first question we ask anyone. We're like, what do you do? What do you do for money? Like, what do you do as a job?
Yeah.
And there people are genuinely like, what'd you eat for lunch? And I'm like, isn't that question more important? Like, how did I nourish myself today? Like, how did I feed myself? Instead of like, what work do you do for someone else?
I mean, that gets into like a whole conversation about the social safety net that we don't have time for.
We don't have.
But yes, I feel that deeply. Joe, we unfortunately have to wrap, sadly. But where can our listeners find you besides recording Too Much Money with me?
I mean, I spend most of my time recording Too Much Money with you these days. but speaking of the social safety net, Dory and I, we will be doing a whole series of episodes on what billionaires could be doing to bolster the social safety net and what.
Wait. This makes me. This is something that makes me personally bonkers.
Personally bonkers. Like, no one needs to go to space, my friends. No one needs to one needs to go explore the Titanic. Those people are dead. They're not coming back. I crap all over Instagram all the time. I'm like, social media is bad. And then I'm like, you can find me on Instagram at Joe Piazza author. That's where I put all the things, and also my Substack, Over the Influence, which I give away for free to people when they buy The Sicilian Inheritance and send me a receipt, because books are expensive and I want people to know that I appreciate them as readers.
I love that. Well, Joe, thank you for coming on Forever 35. Everyone, buy her book. And if she's coming to a city near you, go see her in person.
You should. I'm a lot of fun. And sadly, I'm not coming to your city.
I know.
I'm the worst. But this means I just have to plan a trip just with us, where we just do a live Too Much Money.
And record the Booberman Lab, our new podcast.
And record the Booberman Lab.
So the Booberman Lab, I checked really quickly. It's not available to buy, but I think Booberman Lab. .pod might be available. So I'm gonna work on this for us.
All right.
Okay, thank you. Great. Yeah. Just add that to the list of things you have going on right now and get on it.
I'm gonna go jump.
That should definitely be the number one priority.
I'm gonna go jump in the creek and then I'll make the Booberman Lab.
That sounds great.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, Joe.
And congrats on the book.
Thank you.
Well, Dory, as mentioned, after we hopped off with Joe, I immediately got reinvigorated about trying to get my dual citizenship, trying to visit my great-grandparents' village. I immediately did the thing I often do where I was like back to hyperfixation mode.
Did you reach out to the person that she's been using?
I did. I haven't heard back from them, but I reached out to a couple places about help just navigating that process, but then also help kind of if I wanted to visit the place where my family's from, like figuring out how to do that in the most respectful, non-invasive, non-American barging into your town kind of way, a la White Lotus. If you watch the most recent, we watched the most recent season of White Lotus, and my husband was like, this is what it will be like for you. And I was like, yes, I know. I will say my father and grandfather have gone back and visited where my great grandparents are from and met relatives there. And, but I would really like to do that. So I have.
Should I get my husband to do this? He won't do it.
Is he Sicilian?
I don't. Maybe.
I mean, honestly,
he's like half Italian and then half.
He's Portuguese.
Portuguese, Cuban, Spanish. Like, I think his Spanish ancestors went to Cuba.
Cool.
And that's on his dad's side, and maybe Puerto Rico. And then his mom's side, I think, is mostly Italian, although maybe also Portuguese. I'm not sure. It's all that sort of like Southern Europe vibe.
Yeah. I mean, my family is from Southern Italy, and, you know, it's somewhat easy to kind of trace because they came to America not that long ago. So we have a lot of the documentation, and, you know, even though a lot of stuff got changed, like everybody spells the last name 50 different ways, but right. I mean, yeah, maybe Matt and I could go on like a buddy trip together, especially if he's from around Naples.
You and Matt should definitely go on a buddy trip together.
Yeah. That two people, Matt and I, two people who are way too similar.
Oh my God.
Neither of us would want to do anything to offend the other person. Neither of us would plan anything. We would desperately need you to lead us around. And
so
Anthony.
So funny. I'd be like, bye.
Matt and I are just each in our corners, hyper fixating on our own things.
Totally.
But yeah, I don't know. It is kind of meaningful for me. And it was nice to kind of remember, like, that is something that I've thought a lot about, and I really do want to kind of tap back into. So I really love getting to talk to Joe. I'm so excited to read this book. I cannot wait.
Very cool. Well, Kate, what's going on for you intentions wise?
Well, last week I talked about how I want to really be my own hype person. I am in the process of promoting my next novel called One Last Summer, out June 11th.
Yes,
pre-order it now wherever books are sold. And I'll be doing an event in Los Angeles. Stay tuned for more details on that. I would love to see you and meet you and sign your book. And you can pre-order it at the link that's in the show notes. So that's what I'm trying to do. Just be confident in promoting my work, Dory.
Yeah, Kate, by the way, let me know as soon as you know about your LA event so I can save the date on my
Cal. I will email you. It is not announced, but I know the date, so I'll email you right now.
You best do that.
This week, something I have been thinking about, and I don't know if I have mentioned this here, is, you know how I kind of I'm fascinated by the idea of an early morning routine.
Yes.
It dawned on me at some point that a lot of people who put out that early morning routine content, a lot of them might not have ADHD like me. So I was like, oh, Kate, maybe this doesn't work for you because this isn't necessarily what you need, but maybe something else that you come up with would be really nice, because I actually really I love getting up early. I love waking up before everybody in my house, and it's the most productive time for me. So this morning I got up and did my online grocery shopping and did a yoga class.
Okay.
I guess what I'm saying is my intention this week is to think less about what I've read that works for other people and lean into crafting something that works for myself.
Ooh.
In the space of getting up in the morning in that space.
Love this for you.
Okay. Now, I know last week your intention was figuring out your tennis life. And I suspect, I don't want to jump to conclusions, but I suspect that has been on hold while you have handled the mucus in your head.
Yeah, that has been on hold. I was supposed to practice on Friday night and I was like, I can't, I don't think I can do this. But I am captain of a team for spring.
Congratulations. So. Oh, that's so cool. Were you voted captain?
No. What happened was there's a woman I met on my current team and we've played doubles a bunch of times. And whenever we play doubles together, we win. And whenever we play with other people, we don't win. So you do the math. Anyway, we became friendly and she was the captain of the winter team. And they were kind of doing different configurations for the spring season. The teams would be bigger. And so I was like, do you want me to co-captain? And she was like, yes, that would be amazing. So I'm co-captaining with her.
I love that.
And yeah, I mean, it's like herding cats a little bit, but
sure.
I have no problem with bugging people about stuff, you know?
You're a good cat herder.
Although it does get to be a lot sometimes. I'm like, just put in your availability. It's not that hard. Come on.
But it is. But sometimes it just is, isn't it?
I guess so.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So yeah. So this week, I mean, honestly, all I can think about is like the mucus in my nose. So I think I just need to like focus on getting better.
Just rest.
Yeah.
Just rest and take care of yourself.
Thank you so much.
Well, let me be the first to tell you that this podcast, Forever 35, is hosted and produced by us, Dori Shafrir and Kate Spencer. It's produced and edited by Sam Junio. Sammy Reed is our project manager and our network partner is Acast. Dori, I hope you feel better.
Listeners, thank you so much.
Thank you for being here.
Bye.